next on the 5 o'clock report.
To begin to pay their fair share in taxes.
He said this is drastic.
I don't have it all figured out.
Lowering costs for prescriptions, even internet access.
Our city will never be the same.
We need community.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Tracy Lynn. How to tackle inflation. That's the message from President Biden today, speaking before union members at the AFL-CIO convention in Philadelphia. KYW's Pat Loeb.
The president faced an extremely friendly audience to address the issue that Republicans have been pounding him on, the high price of gas and food, a phenomenon he blamed solely on Russian President Vladimir Putin.
Just since he invaded Ukraine, it's gone up $1.74 a gallon because of nothing else but that.
President Biden said he was working to keep prices stable with the largest release of oil from the global supply in history. Similarly, he said the U.S. is working with Europe to get 20 million tons of grain stuck in Ukraine out by rail and to market. And he said he wants to offset higher prices by lowering costs for prescriptions, utilities, even internet access.
All I'm asking is for the largest corporations and the wealthiest Americans to begin to pay their fair share in taxes.
Business analyst Jill Schlesinger says there's more to it than that.
The Federal Reserve has to thread this needle. They want to slow down the pace of inflation. But by raising interest rates,
right,
what's happening is they could actually tip us into a recession if they go too far too fast.
The Fed kicking off a two-day meeting today. Some predict the agency will raise interest rates by 0.75 point for the first time since 1994. A bill extending police protection to family members of Supreme Court justices is now headed to President Biden's desk after easy passage by the House. The Senate passed the bill unanimously last month. The measure was prompted by protests outside the homes of some justices that followed the leak of a draft Supreme Court opinion suggesting an end to Roe v. Wade, the decision which legalized abortion nationwide. Last week, police arrested a man near the home of Justice Brett Kavanaugh. That man was charged with attempted murder. Lawmakers are also looking to quickly pass new legislation to help prevent another mass shooting. Republican Senator John Cornyn of Texas.
There's a lot of desire on both sides to include additional things, but they were excluded in large part because of our necessity of getting to 60 votes.
Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York says a gun trafficking bill is part of the bipartisan framework.
Guns from states and with lax gun laws are flooding into states with strong gun laws. And as a result, law enforcement and prosecutors are having to rely on a patchwork of state regulations that make prosecutions difficult and convictions nearly impossible.
The Democrat says her Gun Trafficking and Crime Prevention Act will make trafficking firearms a federal crime and establish harsh penalties for those who ship or transport a firearm to someone who's not legally allowed to have a gun. And an Indiana pastor recently received feedback on America's decline through the eyes of a missionary who returned to the country after 5 years in Africa.
He said, "You may not be able to see it, but I can see it. There's a drastic difference in the morality of where you were 5 years ago and now where you are now." He said, "This is drastic."
Kevin Michelin believes the nation is approaching a so-called Nineveh moment.
Someone has to be able to call to the nation itself, and I believe the church needs to be able to call to the nation and say, "We need to honor God again."
Michelin and his Pure Assembly Group are organizing a national prayer meeting this fall at the University of Notre Dame. Still to come this Tuesday, remembering victims in New York, an update on Civil War gold in PA, and getting help to grow.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Our call for tonight, a beautiful evening, and generally moonlit skies. However, clouds will build into southwest New York and western Pennsylvania overnight. A couple late-night showers and thunderstorms will be in the area into early tomorrow. Low temps in the muggy or mid-50s to mid-60s. Later tomorrow, some sunshine, warm and muggy. High temps in the 80s, generally. Could be a late day or evening thundershower popping up in a few spots. Thursday, variably cloudy, couple of showers and heavy thunderstorms in the area. Warm and humid. High temperatures Thursday, 80s and low 90s.
Thank you, Kevin. Now for more what's happening where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Vigils are being held across western New York to honor the legacies of 10 people who were shot and killed in a mass shooting in Buffalo.
Our city will never be the same. It was a moment that changed our community forever.
Today marks 1 month since the shooting at the Tops Friendly Markets. Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown hosting a remembrance ceremony at the site of the tragedy to honor the victims and praise emergency responders.
Nothing we do will ever repair the heartache for the families who lost their loved ones.
Top stores throughout the Buffalo region will host candlelight vigils tonight, starting at 7. The saga over supposed Civil War gold allegedly taken by the FBI in Elk County, Pennsylvania, continues in a court battle. We get that story from Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
An attorney representing a father-son team of treasure hunters says the FBI either lied to a federal judge about having video of its secretive 2018 dig for the gold or illegally destroyed the video to prevent his clients from gaining access to it. That's the assertion in new legal filings that allege a government cover-up. The FBI has long insisted its agents recovered nothing of value when they went looking for the fabled gold cache. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. GOP candidates for New York State Governor took to the debate stage last night in the Big Apple.
The sharp elbows came out early. Candidates trying to sell themselves as the true Republican and their opponents as fakes. Congressman Lee Zeldin took much of the fire, seen as the front runner with the most money and support from the state party.
Listen, I don't mind taking on all three of you here tonight, and I'm looking forward to taking on and defeating Kathy Hochul in November.
As New York and the country grapples with gun violence, Zeldin says the state's gun laws have gone too far.
Gun-free zones don't work. It actually becomes a target.
Businessman Harry Wilson insisted he supports the Second Amendment, but his priorities are elsewhere.
The problem is not with law-abiding citizens, but with criminals, the mentally ill, and the purveyors of hate. And those are the people we should be cracking down and focusing on.
The nominee is expected to enter the general election as the underdog, since Democrats outnumber Republicans more than 2-1 in New York State. Next at 5, marriage is a big change. Yet Dr. Greg Smalley with Focus on the Family tells us we're often hesitant to get marital counseling.
I think that we want to believe that we don't need help, that we can do it ourselves, whatever we're facing as a couple, that we've got the power to change this if we can just figure out what's going on, sit down, talk it through. You know, we all get stuck. My wife and I actually yesterday just celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary. Wow. And we've had hard seasons. We've had dark seasons. We've had times that we've needed counselors. We've needed mentors and pastors to come alongside and community to help us grow. And I think for me, as I look back, I just think one of the biggest goals that we need to have as a couple is how are we growing as individuals and how are we growing together as a couple. And there are definitely times that Aaron and I need help and we're stuck or we're not getting where we want to be. Just the other day, I was driving, a vehicle cut me off, and as we pulled up to a red light, I simply was giving this other driver a very bad look. So I wasn't doing anything else, I promise. I was just looking at him like, seriously? Well, my wife did not like me doing that, and it made her feel unsafe, kind of in this day and age. We don't know what this person's going to do. So she starts correcting me, and so then I feel controlled. I say something. We get into this big argument, and finally I tell her, hey, if you don't like the way I'm driving, just look out your window. Then you won't even notice how I'm driving. Now, I understand it was a terrible thing to say to my wife. But what was interesting later on is she and I kind of talked that through, and I apologized, and she apologized. And one of the things she said, though, that really struck me, she goes, over the last few months, as we drive together, I've just noticed you've become really reactive to other drivers. And I was thinking, that doesn't seem right. But actually, the more I thought about it, I went, that's probably fair. I wonder what that's about. I went and made an appointment with a good Christian counselor here in my area, someone I've been to before, and kind of shared with him this story. And I don't know if that's true or not. Let's talk it through. Ended up, there were some other really big stressors in my life that I hadn't been dealing with. And I'd sort of been taking that stress out on other drivers. The point being, I wasn't even aware that some deeper stuff was really happening that I needed to go deal with. And I just say, we all have stuff. We all have issues. We have things that we're dealing with personally that will impact our marriage. Let's go deal with that stuff. Let's go in together as a couple and figure out how are we growing as a couple as well. For some reason, we almost assign like this negative stigma to counseling. Oh, that means that we're in big trouble. All I'm saying is that we all need help to grow. Let's figure out how to do that.
I think you touch on a very relevant point, and that is that stigma that does seem to be attached to getting counseling, to getting help, almost this sense of, well, I failed then if I go to get counseling. How do we overcome that? I guess what would be pride, really?
That's literally what I was going to say. For me, I was being prideful. Oh, I can deal with whatever stressors are going on in my life. I don't need to go to a counselor. And I love that verse in Philippians that talks about do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. And vain conceit means that when I'm excessively proud of my own thinking, my own thoughts, my perspective. And so in my mind, I'm like, I'm good. Okay, maybe I've been a little bit more reactive to people driving, you know, they're idiots and justifying. Well, it was my pride. And when I really heard my wife suggesting that, giving me that feedback, and I'm recognizing, yeah, you know what? That did show up the other day and that hurt my marriage. I'm going to go get some help. And so I think it's humbling ourselves and just saying, God, I trust you. You'll bring the right person. You'll bring the right therapist. You'll bring the right mentor into my life who will help me. Whatever this season of growth needs to look like, I trust God will do that. But you're right. It does take some humility and just a willingness to go, you know what, I don't have it all figured out. We need community, and that includes, during seasons, counselors and mentors in our life.
That's Dr. Greg Smalley speaking with Family Life's Brandon Dixon for Real Answers. You can catch up on each of the Family Life news features at familylife.org/podcasts. Now time for your market report brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Here's Family Life's Dave Margolotti.
It was a much calmer session on Wall Street today as the markets closed mixed. It looks like investors are biding their time as they await a decision from the Federal Reserve on another interest rate hike tomorrow. The general consensus has been a 0.5% hike, but after consumer price index numbers came in hotter than expected last week, some believe we could see a hike of 0.75% tomorrow. Oil slid $2 a barrel today, closing at 118. Our final numbers, the Dow was down 151 points, the S&P 500 off 14, and the NASDAQ gained 19. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
Thank you, Dave. You're listening to the 5 O'Clock Report on Family Life.
Hi, I'm Rob West with your MoneyWise Minute. Here's one from financial history. On June 14th in 1949, the Dow Jones Industrial Average finished the day up about 0.25%. Big deal, you say? Well, it was, because that day kicked off the longest bull market of all time. A bull market is when the stock market is rising without a major reversal. The bull that began running in mid-49 lasted until December of 1961. The market gained 355%, or about 13% annually. Wow! We may never see that again, but still, the stock market remains perhaps the best means of making your money grow over the long term. Whether through your company retirement plan or an IRA, don't neglect to invest for your financial future. Connect with a certified Kingdom advisor who's been trained to deliver financial advice that aligns with your Christian values by visiting our website, moneywise.org.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A warmer and more humid air mass will make it feel a little more summery over the next couple nights and days. Our call for tonight, a beautiful evening and generally moonlit skies. However, clouds will build into southwest New York and western Pennsylvania overnight. A couple late-night showers and thunderstorms will be in the area into early tomorrow there. Low temps in the muggy or mid-50s to mid-60s. Later tomorrow, some sunshine, warm and muggy. High temps in the 80s generally. Could be a late day or evening thundershower popping up in a few spots. Thursday, variably cloudy, couple of showers and heavy thunderstorms in the area. Warm and humid. High temperatures Thursday, 80s and low 90s.
Thank you, Kevin. Finally at 5. Today we commemorate the adoption of the flag of the United States on June 14, 1777. Philadelphia resident Betsy Ross is remembered for sewing the first American flag.
When you stand in front of the Betsy Ross house, you're seeing a single mom doing something to take care of her family.
By age 30, Ross was widowed twice.
And now she here is trying to care for her children. She was a seamstress and an upholsterer.
Peter Lilback tells CBN the founding fathers worked on a design and colors for the first flag to represent the new nation.
Red stands for hardiness and valor. White, purity and innocence. That's moral purity and legal innocence. We don't break the law and we're pure before God. And then when we look at blue, it's perseverance, vigilance, and justice.
George Washington attended Christ Church, the same church as Betsy, so founders asked her if she could make many flags with six pointed stars.
And then she took a piece of cloth, folded it, and with a snip came out a five pointed star. She said, if you do this, you save a lot of money and a lot of time. And he said, it's a deal.
Betsy Ross went on to sew flags for the United States for more than 50 years. And that's the world we live in this 14th of June. Thanks for coming along. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.